Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Community Impact Board. We're glad you all made it. We're glad the weather's cooperated. According to the forecast, it should cooperate so you can get home. So let's keep our fingers crossed for that.
Is there a doctor in the house?
Before we begin our meeting, we'll have Candace do a board briefing for the board's benefit. Candace? Do you have your Richard first? Oh, okay. Wow. I've been corrected. Oh, I hear it now.
Yeah.
That's great. Oh, a little lazy. Yeah, that's a little better, isn't it? Before Candace does her briefing, she's reminding me that we have an item of the utmost importance. As many of you know, Richard Ellis resigned as state treasurer and took a, according to him, better job. So we're hoping that's the case. But I wanted to just take a minute, appreciate him making the time to be here this morning. Richard, why don't you come up? Those who might not like him. We have a lovely parting gift. Thank you for your participation. You should see what the winner's gift.
This is like the little soccer trophy, isn't it? Well, thank you.
Richard has been a very valuable member of the CIB for many years, and I personally have appreciated his leadership. He's one of the few people that tell you how it is regardless of public opinion, and I appreciate that level of integrity and honesty and what it's meant to this board to have someone who would speak their mind and stand up for what's right. And Richard, if you'd like to say a few words, we'll allow you that privilege, and if you would rather not, then we'll allow you that as well.
Well, it'll be very few, but it's been a privilege for me to be part of the Community Impact Board and the great things we get to do around the state. I mean, I sit on an awful lot of boards, or used to, I guess I don't anymore. But this is one where you can see the impact and the difference you really made in the lives and the communities around the state. So it was really a great privilege to be a part of that. It was one of the three or four things I really enjoyed doing as state treasurer. So I will miss that. I especially will miss the association with the people around this table. You're great people. You do a great job, and you have the interest of those at home in mind. And so thank you so much for the privilege I had of serving with you, and I wish you best of luck. There are great challenges ahead, and but we'll get oil and natural gas prices back up, and the money
Yay.
Will flow, and life will be good again. So, thank you so much.
I appreciate it. I understand that Richard has a day job now that he has to be so hard to punch as well. All right, Candace, is it okay to do the briefing now?
Yeah.
Okay. Here, I'll give you the.
Good morning. This is, in case you didn't see your calendar this morning, it's December 10th. It is the second Thursday. Usually CID meets on the first Thursday of each month. In December, we have traditionally been meeting on the second Thursday because there are members of the board and the chairman who are otherwise occupied on the first week of December. So it is December 10th, so you know your calendar is right. That is the second Thursday. This is the second meeting of the second trimester of fiscal year 2016. CIB runs on a trimester basis. There will be three funding meetings. This is a review meeting. On page 1-1-1 of your board package, the projects for board review are indicated in yellow. There are seven new projects. And at the time that this board package was mailed out, there was going to be a supplemental request. The board will review that supplemental request at the request of the applicant in January. So Spring City will be on the January agenda. The fund summary is on page 1-1-2. as you can see, there is in yellow a little bit of a lean number. That being said, that's the number that reflects if all of these applications were funded as they are listed on this review sheet, according to revenue as of November 21st. So, or November 12th. So, there are loan payments that will come in, and there are revenues that will come in, and by February, the number will look different. But pay attention to that number as you review these applications. But that's why the number looks like that. If everything that's been submitted for this trimester is reviewed and funded as you see it on that page. And I don't need to remind this board that revenues come from oil, gas, and coal revenues. So if you watch the market, you know why it's a little slower in building. It's a double-edged sword, because when you fill up your car, you're happy. But when you come here for a project, you might be surprised in a different way. On February 4th, that's the funding meeting. It's the end of the second trimester, and there will be a better picture of the availability of funds. In your red folder, the ever-present rainbow sheet. Remember, this does not reflect any revenues or changes or monies that come in this fiscal year. This is through 5 years through 2015. That's just the tool. And to supplement the applications today, there's a copy of the MOA. It's on green. The Marsh is the packet that there has been a new addition. It's the review that we are having done by the Utah Department of Transportation on streets and road projects. They are here in this meeting today, and if you have any questions about their reviews, they're happy to answer those questions. That's why they're here. But this is how it came about, and we'll discuss that a little bit at the beginning of the meeting. The applications on the meeting today are, the first one is the Shilling County Special Service District. This is for road improvements. Acadia Road, they're asking for a $3,650,400 grant. The applicant does have $2,433,600 in applicant cash towards this project. The applicant has indicated that it's 5.2 miles of Arcadia Road. There's a map in the packet that shows where this road is. The UDOT reviews have a couple of points that I noted. There's a risk summary that's pertinent to this project on 3-1-3. And items to request from the applicant, 3-1-4. This includes utility relocation, but it does not include drainage. Drainage is an important component in road projects and improvements if they have a lasting effect. I don't pretend to be an engineer for roads, but I've listened a lot. On 3-1-13 and 14, it's budget versus expenses. Do they have enough money in this project to cover all of the expenses? Number two is Roosevelt City. Roosevelt City is asking for a new fire truck purchase. They have $100,000 in applicant cash. They're asking for a $450,000 grant. This will be for a fire truck with 1,000-gallon pumping capacity. One question I had as I was reviewing this was, what will they do with the old truck? And it is addressed in the application. The funding for the old truck came from the general fund, so when they do sell that, it will go back into the general fund. So that's a question that the board probably doesn't need to ask, but worry. This price on this truck is good until January of 2016, according to the application, so that might be a question that the board would ask on what the status is of that fixed cost for this truck. And it was a great public hearing. Number three is Fruitland Special Service District. This is for an annexation study. They have their applicant cash match of $10,000. They're asking for a $10,000 grant to review costs and feasibility of annexing an unincorporated community. It's Western Duchesne. When I Googled Fruitland, it said that it was on the Utah and Uri Indian Reservation. I don't. Is it?
Yes.
Okay. So that's probably a discussion to have. If they annex it, there will, if they address having 60 connections and a water source by this annexation, but they would like to do the study to see what, if this makes sense and what needs to be done to do so. I also Googled, the settlement was originally called Rabbit Gulch, but a developer renamed it Fruitland, hoping to sway people to buy land there, thinking that it would be very fruitful. It's still Rabbit Gulch.
East of
it. Hopefully everything you read in the United
States. That's my research.
Number four is Centerfield City. They are also a road improvement project request with a review from UDOT. They're asking for $2,235,000 from CID, $150,000 5-year loan. It says 10-year on your review, on your expanded sheet for the board. It's a 5-year loan they're asking for, and a $2,085,000 grant. On 3-4-20, it's the July 15th public hearing, and it addresses three phases. This is a three-phase project. It will be $6 million for all the phases. It also says in that, initiative that once funded, they'll do the real engineering. Anyway, there's also a financial advisor expense of $10,000 in this project. And there's also funding available or to address the legal fees. Watch that when you look at these applications and when the board is authorizing something other than a grant. Be aware that there is an expense inherent with bonding. The UDLT review is on 3-4-3. One thing I noted in that review was with 2-inch overlay, there's reflective cracking. I looked at that. That's pretty cool. It's just the bottom of the road, or the underlying existing road kind of comes up through a 2-inch overlay. So keep that in mind. The UDOT review also noted that it probably will cost less, but they can address that, which is good. Where is the untraded base course being used? That was also a question. Number five, Town of Fayette. Road improvements 2015. That's what they called it. It's, of course, this is fiscal year 2016, but we'll call it what they want. This is phase two. Fayette came in to the board and asked for phase one. Phase one is just going out to bid. According to the application, phase one, the board funded for $450,000. This request is $480,000 in grant funding. The UDOT review is on 3-5-3, which they commended the rotation of fixing these roads. The recommended revised cost will be slightly lower again on this one, according to UDOT. The UDOT have reviews of constantly. There's a constant in it. They recommend a long-range plan for roads. I think this board has been requesting that as well. It's also a request from people who actually have the know what. Santa Clara is number six. Road improvements, Santa Clara Highway. Number 91, this is a project that is mitigating some dangerous issues with a part of the road. The applicant does have $175,000 from the Transportation Alternative Program, and that is in place, and UDOT has, I don't know if this funding is in place, but on the application it indicates that UDOT will be putting in $3,251,531. So CID's request is $405,000 total. $243,000 is a 10-year 2.5% loan, and $242,000 in grants. This is a 20-year project in the making. The capacity of the road will not be changed. It could cost more than the estimate. Bids will be in on December 15th for this project. So, and UDOT review has indicated in as well. Number seven is Town of Circleville. This is a $498,000 grant request for road improvements, 2016. This is the road meeting. There's no applicant cash in this. This is also a phase. This is a phase project. Circleville will be doing 141,799 square yards of chip seal and 600 square yards of 3-inch hot mix. Asphalt to repair the town roads. There are pictures in this application that indicate what the roads look like. The one that has the black and white picture, I apologize. Anyway, that indicates the roads that will be done on this application. And then the supplemental request, Green City, has been postponed to January. If you just want to save your package, we won't print it out again. I'm just kidding. Things will change, so we will have a new documentation for that project in January.
Thank you, Ms. Powell. As always, that's a wonderful overview, and hopefully the board is prepped and ready to go. Again, good morning. We appreciate you being here. We're glad you all found our location. We don't expect that you'll find it to your liking, but we're glad you come. We have a number of new people here with us today, as Candace pointed out. Chris, let's start with you. Would you stand and introduce yourselves and let us know why you're here?
Is that me?
Yep.
So my name is Chris Wilson. I'm a contract employee for UDOT. My role at UDOT is to review all of the projects, both their design to build or innovative contracting methods. I have a team there of ex-contractors, and we do constructability review, estimating, and risk management for the DOT. We also review all of Detroit Highway submissions every year, so this is very similar to those projects where they receive federal or state funds. So our role here is to help the board and the office as well to get all the money that they need to complete their projects efficiently and as cost effectively as possible.
Thank you, Chris. We're thrilled to have you with us. As Candace said, this is our first ever road meeting. We've had sewer meetings, we've had water meetings, and now we're having road meetings. So we appreciate you, Bill. We appreciate Chris and the fine work that he's done. Also, probably worth noting that we have Mr. Jonathan Hardy with us, who is the newly appointed Director of Housing and Community Development. I've known John for more years than we'd probably like to admit to, and we're just thrilled to have him with us again. He worked with us several years ago, and so, John, welcome. Good to have you with us. On a personal note, I'd like to thank Tamara Kohler, who is serving as interim director for the past 6 or 7 months and was very supportive of this board and the work that we're doing. And just want to thank her for that. She will continue to support this board as the assistant deputy director of the Housing and Community Development Division. And if we could just go around and introduce the rest of the board members. Greg, we'll start with you.
Sure. I'm Greg Galecki. I represent the Water Quality Board.
Chris Adams, Federal County Commissioner, representing Southeastern Utah AOG.
Jay Potter, Carbon County Commissioner, representing Carbon County.
Jim Matson, Kane County Commissioner, representing the Five County Association of Governments. Hi, this is Nadia from Sunny St. George, representing the UDOT Commission. Mr. Chairman, also bring greetings and expression of gratitude from town of Perwin for the newly constructed office. They had Christmas in November. They just loved it. The chief of police said that I cannot ever remember having this beautiful house any place. They said they had a folding chair, used to meet in the library, folding chair. In one occasion, one citizen showed up to talk to the mayor and said, "We'll take care of you." And the lady says, "Mayor, I have not seen taking care of your own office. How are you going to take care of me?" He said in his speech that now he can tell people that he will take care of them and he means it. So thank you for that.
We appreciate Mr. Zanotti representing the Community Impact Board at the ribbon cutting for the Parowan City Office of the Community Center. So thank you very much, Mr. Zanotti.
I'm Chris Reed. I help the board. I'm an assistant to the board.
Candace Powers, Housing and Community Development, staff to the board.
Good morning. My name is Keith Eaton. I'm chairman of the board.
David Deamption, acting state treasurer.
Claudia Jarrett, Trumbull County Commissioner, representing Six County AOG.
Ron Winterton, Duchesne County Commissioner, representing the Unibasin Association of Governments.
Steve Farrell, Wasatch County Councilman, representing the Board of Water Resources.
Good morning. Mike McKean, representing UNA County. Now I mentioned Sunny St. George. This is the Christmas season, and it's nice and frigid out in Vernal. And we're keeping in the spirit of Christmas. We just mentioned that.
Jonathan Hardy just introduced Housing Community Development.
Tom Roberts, the Attorney General's Office, and I ask legal advice and support.
Bill Gardner, staff to the board. Gwen Brown, financial staff to the board. Catherine Smith,
I'm in the Knowledge Division of Drinking Water.
Isabel Bora, I'm the UCB Development.
I'm Nancy, Little Plan Group.
Shannon Over, who's the Rural Plan Group.
Paul Moberly, Rural Plan Group.
Kyle Slaughter, Rural Plan Group.
Thank you, appreciate that.
Okay.
Well, we just might as well introduce everybody if we just I was a good one, we got the David, so. David, I was remiss not to allow you an opportunity to introduce yourself further, so if you'd like an opportunity, we'll certainly give that to you.
I'll just be very brief. We have a great agenda today, and I want to see that we get to it. I've had the privilege and honor to serve Treasurer Ellis, which is Chief Deputy now for 7 years, and I'm excited to continue on at least for another day or two. That's the timetable I'm working with right now. And this was one of Richard's very favorite responsibilities, and I'm really excited to step in and for whatever time I'm able to come and be a part of this board and the good work that it does. I appreciate it. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you. Thank you. As Candace said, we're going to move the board business up to the beginning of the agenda with the Memorandum of Agreement. It's the green paper that was probably in your red packet. As Candace pointed out, we have you guys go through and provide review summaries on each of these road projects. I think those were very helpful, but it seems appropriate that before we go too much further, that we have the board approve this Memorandum of Agreement, which encourages us and allows us to work with UDOT on these types of projects. So if there's any questions, we'd certainly entertain those at this time. Otherwise, the chair will take a motion to approve the Memorandum of Agreement. So
Mr. Chairman, does this bring with it any funding from UDOT for our project?
No.
I'd like to read what we're agreeing to. I just very clear.
Yeah. We'd like to take some time on that. That'd be wonderful. It's fairly simple. No, but I think it does improve the cooperative atmosphere and certainly sends a very strong message to the communities that we're working with, that we are supportive and we're trying to make sure these things are done appropriately. So if you'd like to take a minute to go over that, we'll have a moment of silence.
Mm-hmm.
Candace would like me to just say she doesn't like moments of silence, obviously. Some people are uncomfortable with that. Understandable. But it's the verbiage is very similar to what we have with our water projects and our wastewater projects and stuff. You really won't notice much difference. The acronyms changed a little bit, some of the finer points, but no substantial changes there. So if you're familiar with those, and you should be, then be very similar.
This is not committing us to anything. It's just simply a process.
Right. We agree to pay them a certain amount of money to review these projects. And yeah.
Do we get to know how much that is?
Yeah, Candace, you have that number mentioned.
It's on your sheet.
I just
and it's the same cost.
Sorry.
It's the same cost as what we have offered by way of review for DEQ. They only bill us for what time and effort they put into our project, so it's not a standing, you know, we're not hiring anybody until we do.
This $150,000, is that per year or per project?
Up to.
Per project or per year or for what?
Year.
Should we, it just says $150,000.
$150,000 per service, up to $150,000 per year at the rate of $90 per hour.
Could we put per year in there just so it's clear?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah, thank you. Good point. Any further questions or discussion?
I would indicate this is another example of the administrative expenses that this board has and engages in. You have various people who work for you and provide services to you. Water quality and water resources people who do this type of review, the expansion to provide additional information to assist you. So this is a proper memorandum of agreement so that you can improve your ability to do your diligence in connection with the state program that you offer.
If everyone's had a chance to review that, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make the motion that we go ahead and approve the memorandum agreement with the Utah Department of Transportation as being presented with the corrections noted on the fee.
Thank you, Mr. Farrell. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Potter. Discussion or questions?
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Megan, cash down there. On this, I'm not going to change it to per year because it's a 2-year contract.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to $150,000.
For the entire course of the contract?
For the course of the contract, which is 2016. I can change it for the course of the contract, but it's for 2 years. And up to $150,000 for 2 years.
So it's for 2 years, not 1 year.
The calendar year of 2015 and 2016?
Fiscal year 2016 and 2017.
Thank you. I assume that does not affect the motion or
no, it doesn't affect the motion.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, can I vote on this one as a representative of UDOT Commission?
I would prefer
to review.
Since you're on both sides of the deal, you might want to abstain.
Okay. I follow the council.
Mr. Zanotti abstains. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from the November 5th meeting. The chair will entertain a motion at this time.
Commissioner Jarrett.
We're all looking
No. I've been done in by a certain gentleman. I've been put in my place. I
was an alder, Madam Commissioner. I don't know. I didn't know my way.
Well, I move approval.
My goodness, I was worried there for a minute. We have an approval from Commissioner Jarrett. Mr.
Zanotti
has a second. Any discussion or questions? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. As we invite the Shane County Special Service District forward to talk about the road improvement project on Arcadia Road,
Just like to remind the board to keep an eye on the bottom line during this meeting.
I don't care what the other deals are.
Oh, they're not here.
Yeah, we're here.
Well, then they're cool. Where are you hiding?
Oh, what?
Chance to read them, but somebody would get lost. Well, gentlemen, welcome. If you'll please state your names and then tell us a little bit about the project. Appreciate it.
Don Lederton, I'm with the Special Service District of Duchesne County. Our project is in the Arcadia area, which is current time being drilled extensively by Newfield Oil Company. They have been working in this area for the last couple of years. They have further plans to drill even more wells, and so we know that it's going to continue. The roads in that area have traditionally been for small traffic, small vehicles. The asphalt, not much anymore, hasn't been much more than about 2 inches thick. And as a result, when these 100,000-pound trailers start using the roads, they won't hold up. And so you, in your board packet, probably notice how we've been patching and patching these roads, trying to hold them together. Unfortunately, it's that way all over the county, and so we don't repair all these roads at once, and it's taken us a while to get to this road, and this is what our plan for this coming summer is, to rebuild this road. We have, over the past 2 years, expended $4.4 million of our own funds trying to keep these roads in shape. So you can see this isn't something that we just rely on completely on a handout from the state to help us with this. In fact, in the last 2 weeks, the County Road Department has expended another $200,000 just trying to prep the road, getting it ready to do something with come spring. So this is an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing problem. As long as the oil fields are being aggressively pursued by the companies, it's going to be there in place. We are asking for a 60-40 grant match, and the reason for that is we don't feel we can afford any more indebtedness. Currently, we are expending, we budget about $1 million to repay the loans that we currently have with CIB. We just don't want to take any more loan, and that's why we've asked that it not even be considered. If you have any questions regarding this project, we'd love to hear from them, hear from you.
We'll turn it over to the board now. Any questions? Mr. Potter?
Yes. The one question that was raised with the UDOT survey was in regards to drainage in the road. Maybe you could talk about that for a few minutes.
At the time the application was submitted, the program had not been fine-tuned. Since that time, all of the culverts in that road are going to be replaced. So it's not an issue as far as we're concerned.
Within the same budgetary scope, then?
Within the same budget.
They're all smaller culverts. There's no large structures.
Several years ago, the county had replaced the bridge over the Lake Fork River. It's in very good condition, and so that's not anything that we have to concern ourselves with.
Mr. Zanotti,
what is the source and availability of the cash that you have, $2.4 million?
We are using our mineral lease funds. We're not a taxing district, so all of our funding does come from mineral leases, and that's the source of our funds to do that match.
And it's already in place?
It is in place.
Thank you.
So let's go to Commissioner McKee and then Mr. Jones.
Very much in favor of the project. My concern, if I can just come in, is not really with this project. It's kind of an overall, really with all the projects that we have today that we're kind of going to have for the next while. If you look at the price of oil as of yesterday, it's $37. natural gas is $2. And, I mean, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but we just don't have the funds to do what we once were able to do. And so I want to try and be fair and consistent in what we try to do. But I guess I want to throw out an idea and just see your reaction to this. You're putting in the $2.433 million in cash, and I think that's very commendable what you're trying to do, recognizing we have budgets. My question would be, if we granted you similar amounts of what you put in cash, what would that do for you? Realizing you may not be able to do everything, you know, on this phase with it, but I just like your reaction to that. That's all.
I'm Mike Hawley, that's right. I've been doing this before. Mike Hawley is going to the mill engineering. So with that, if I'm understanding correctly, that would be we would match the $2.4 million.
That's what I wanted to see. It's just, you know, our revenues are down substantially. We used to just pretty well be able to fund everything that came in, but I think we're going to have to look at these projects deeper than we have in the past because we don't have the funding yet. And it's continuing to decline even as we speak. It's not that I don't want to fund them, it's a reality.
And I think the answer to that question is the scope would probably, the length of what we could do would probably decrease, but I think for the most part, a lot of what the real bad areas could be handled. So,
unfortunately, the roads are still bad. And it's for this reason we didn't come before the board with our desire to continue the project in Gate Canyon, which is going to take about 13 years. So we thought we couldn't throw that one out to us today. But if we had this age, a 50-50, we feel like we probably would get the additional money coming in from over the next few months to offset that. We just didn't want to cut ourselves so thin that we were operating on thin air. And so if it had to go to a 50-50 on the $6 million, we would be willing to do that. But yes. It's nice to know we've got a little bit to work with.
Commissioner Jarrett, did you have a question?
Yeah, two. So does this project complete the Arcadia Road then? Is this the last phase of it? Or how much more are we going to anticipate possibly coming in for additional funding?
As long as the oil field keeps drilling wells and keeps tearing up the roads, you can anticipate we will be back.
So does it extend beyond where this project takes
up? As you're probably aware, the Victory Pipeline is currently under construction and being run through the Arcadia area to Roosevelt. And it's going to be going down part of the road that we are not currently working on. As soon as that is done, as soon as that pipeline is in place, we are going to have to replace some of the road that is adjoining that pipeline. There will be about 2 miles of that. We have not considered an application for that yet. We want to see how much damage will be done to the road after the pipeline is laid. But yes, there is more coming.
And then there was another thing that was in the UDOT evaluation about right-of-way and environmental. Is that all in place? Is there no additional right-of-way required?
I'll have Mike address that.
There will be some private property right-of-way acquisition that's required for the reconstruction. The good news is there's no federal ground, there's no tribal ground. So we don't anticipate any snags that way. We've already made contact and have been going through that process as part of our design process to acquire that right of way. We'll have that replaced by April. As far as environmental goes, the Victory Pipeline, when it came through, it was originally planned to follow the same corridor. It's not going there now, but all the environmental surveys were done, all the wetland delineations just recently as part of that project. And so we can piggyback on that work that's already been done, and we already know what the environmental constraints are. So we have a good handle on that. Yeah.
Any further questions?
Yeah, I have one.
Mr. Galecki?
So is Joan familiar, you're fairly familiar with Sydney and Rose and design and things like that?
Yes.
Because it runs a little bit in the UDOT thing. I guess, can you explain, it's kind of like, I see there was a 10% markup for things not estimated, another 10% for change orders, and then your engineering is, 13%. And that comes up over $1 million or stuff. I'm just wondering why
those costs are. I can answer that too. As we put these costs up, these are the estimate that was sent to Chris that was introduced today was a concept level estimate. So we did not have, and that's typically the case when you start a project, you do a concept level estimate, which means there's higher contingency value in those estimates because of the unknowns. We don't have a final design done when the project is commencing. So that's why you see the contingency factors that they are.
So it's upwards of like 33% of the project, that seems like quite a lot more.
Well, we do break out most of the things we do know and identify in the estimate, but we don't include firm numbers on every item. That's the final product that the design is complete, that we have a final engineer's estimate prior to being. So that's where we're at. In order to eliminate all the unknowns, that 10% unknown items not estimated, we would have to do a final design prior to submitting the application to see that we would have a final ready to go. And that's how we see it.
Chris, you could come up to the table and elaborate on that a little bit. That'd be awesome.
I probably have a loud enough voice.
So, Mr. Galecki, the common practice at a concept level estimate,
13% engineering, 10% change orders, another 10%.
So 10% of
$1 million
of items not estimated was pretty good for this one. Some projects are upwards of 30%, depending on the complexity of the project. And so for the level of design that Jones in the Mill has estimated, 10% of that should be pretty low. And 10% for a reconstruct project, 90 to 10% is UDOT recommended best practices for design. And so they follow UDOT standard practices with that. So that's common at a concept level. As you move forward with design, of course, those levels will come down.
Chris, while you've got the microphone, I just had a quick question, and I'll get to you, Mr. Keith. You also recommended a pavement management plan.
That was my boss.
Okay. Then it's all in one work, right?
Okay.
So what exactly is that? And maybe you can quickly explain to the board that we may not understand, maybe we're not probably understanding, maybe some of us don't. And so, and then we can have my
a super mini step, right? So a payment management plan, you essentially take an assessment of all of the roads in your district, county, your town, or whatever, and when they were built and when they were going to require maintenance or planned maintenance. Okay? That way the city can budget, and maybe they have some form of it right now, but like highways with heavy truck traffic are going to require more maintenance, especially if they were under design. And so this kind of planning will help the board to better understand what future needs are of the communities around the river.
Thank you. Appreciate that. So is a pavement management plan in place in the county?
I've been working very closely with our road supervisor. He has a list of those roads that he feels have priority, and I guess you could call that a paving plan. Because of the decrease in mineral lease funds, we are for next year tightening our belt. But as you have noticed, in the Arcadia area alone, we put in quite a bit of funding this last summer. We, what is it, 10 miles across there that we just put in new chip seal, track seal, and extended in other areas of the county. Yes, we do have a paving plan. It's basically trying to get out there and stay ahead of the asphalt breaking up.
It's a good plan.
Yeah. I want to just add one thing to that. As this district paid for a transportation master plan that was done in 2013, they assessed all the roads in the county, their current condition and current level of fatigue and failure and et cetera. And a lot of that paving plan and a lot of the projects that this district has undertaken has stemmed from that plan. And so, yes, and we've been able to help the county for the last couple of years put together a maintenance project and chip seal and seal several roads in the county that, you know, are part of that plan. So,
yeah, I think the point is that as the CIB pays for these new roads, that new road gets plugged into the pavement maintenance plan and saying in 5 years we're going to have to do X, and in 10 we'll have to do Y, and in 20 we'll have to do Z. And this is the anticipated cost, and so that those types of things are in place. Otherwise, we're just chasing our tails. So
we're in full agreement with that concept because we don't want to put these brand new roads in and then just neglect them. We want them to be sealed at the right time and those repairs made.
And every road that CIB has paid for this district over the last, since I've been involved, it's been about 5 years, has been sealed today, the year after. So this district stepped up on that. Good. It's good to hear. Commissioner McKee and then Mr. Blackie. I'm just going to state when you're ready for a motion, from that point, I would like to make a motion. Mr. Blackie?
I have a couple questions about process, I guess. Like you mentioned, a couple other roads that you know you need to come in for, but they're not on the process of the improvement list. So as far as us planning forward, it's like,
is there a reason why those other roads that you mentioned aren't on the capital improvement list?
Wells Drop, gate cleaning may show up as Wells Drop 34. That one should be on either their short or long term list.
Yeah, see, there's only one road on there, and I guess it needs a little bit to Claudia's thought is that, okay, this year we have a $5 million project, what else is in the pipeline? You know, if it helps us as far as getting our funds around, if we know that, you know, every year you're going to have a $6 million project coming in.
We would just have you put that kind of permanent question.
Just for the board information, on the capital improvement list, you'll note on this one, it's page 103, so there's two other pages that we don't include just because the priorities are further out. So that's a good question, maybe, Mr. Blackie.
And the other question I have is because since they can't tie down to the cost real well, you know, we talk about, scope creep. How is it internally, how are we, the invoices come in, is that right, Candace? It's like, how do you know it's not... the project scope isn't getting larger than what they than was outlined.
All of the invoices that come for a project have to be within the contract scope of work, so it's very difficult to reimburse something that is outside of the scope. Now, that doesn't mean that things might get more expensive. They'll deal with that as they come forward, but we'll only reimburse the things that are within the scope. If they become more expensive, there will be, that will necessitate other funding or a supplemental request to CIB, or they'll utilize other funds. But as far as scope creep, they won't change what they apply for because it's contracted. And then each invoice is reviewed to be within that scope and then reimbursed.
Candace and her staff and the accounting staff do an excellent job of keeping track. I mean, that's why we have so many supplementals, frankly. And so, yeah, that's a good question. I commend them for the good work they do. Let's go with Commissioner Adams and Mr. Connie.
With the declining oil prices, you know, the board has talked about tightening up our belt a little bit to the $5 million soft cap on any one project, which includes loan grant mix. So I like what Commissioner McKee is saying about maybe reducing the package back that would put it under the $5 million soft cap that we've been trying to deal with and allow us to maybe fund some other projects that might come in that are equally as important. So it might cause Duchesne to have to rethink what they're doing back towards maybe a $5 million project at a time on these road projects. But I would certainly support what Commissioner McKee has indicated today. He might make a motion on it.
I like where this is going. Let's have Mr. Zanotti ask his question, and then we'll go to Commissioner McKee for that motion.
Mike, you had indicated, well, Chris indicated that his report doesn't address any issues of the drainage and utility line. Are you anticipating any issues with the drainage or utility line changing and moving?
No, it does address utility relocation. I think was the comment, but not drainage was not specifically individually called out in the estimate. But I think as we've talked here, we are planning on replacing all the drainage within the same scope element. Since this application went in, our design is for grass. And a lot of that items are known.
So you have talked about contingencies can include the drainage issue.
It includes, and there's a 10% contingency for change order, possible change order, and then also the items unknown. And that the drainage is going to be improved, and it will fall in the same budget scope as what's in the application.
Thank you.
Before I go to you, Commissioner McKee, I thought Commissioner Adams would ask this question. So I'll ask it. Recently, I understand 13 counties passed Proposition 1 to increase the sales tax 1% to go into local transportation need. Is Duchesne County one of those counties that did pass or one of those that did not?
It did pass, yes.
Excellent. That's music to my ears. Commissioner McKee?
Thank you. I would like to make a motion, and I'll just explain my motion just for a minute. We talked about our declining and our revenues being much more difficult, and I think it was Candace who said right at the beginning, the double-edged sword, because we, you know, from my point of view, the higher the price, the better. I think it can't be too high. The higher the better. But in any case, the applicant cash is $2,432,600, and I would like to make a motion that this would be fairly close to half and half if we made that a $2.5 million grant. It would be just to make it a nice even number. And I think the thing that does, it keeps us pretty close to that 50-50 and also helps us with our revenue stream.
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner McKee, for the motion and Commissioner Adams for the second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
All abstain.
And an abstention from Commissioner Winter. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. We appreciate that. Best wishes on the project.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your hearing our application.
At this time, we invite Roosevelt City to come forward and tell us about their new shiny red fire truck that Santa is going to deliver on Christmas Eve. And if he doesn't, you must have come to the wrong meeting.
I'd be happy to tell you that I call this good luck.
Well, we'll see about that. Please introduce yourself.
My name is Brian Stahl. I am the new city manager for Roosevelt City. And I first excuse our mayor. He wanted to be here, but came ill and wasn't able to come out with us this morning. I have with me Councilman Joe Burdick and also Finance Director John Jones. And so we're coming to present our application and that we are, as I mentioned, we're asking for funding to replace a 28-year-old fire truck that's no longer National Fire Protection Agency compliant. The fire truck has several flaws and overheats, climbing hills, so it's very difficult to put out some fires. In turn, we are using a much more expensive ladder truck to respond primarily to some of those trucks, some of those fires. We wouldn't need that truck to respond to the majority of fires if we had a new one, which would save the cost of replacing it. A ladder truck is approximately three times the cost of a pumper truck. So we're trying to be cost conscious in that and saving and looking down the future. Roseville City Fire Department is a regional fire response agency. We are the primary respondent to fires in Roseville City, Ballard City, Western Uinta County, and Eastern Duchesne County. We have contracts with the BIA as well as UTRI. 38% of our fire calls were within our city limits. 31% were within Duchesne County. 14% were within Uinta County, 4% were for the Ute Tribe, and 13% were for the town of Powell. And so we are looking for your help. We're bringing some applicant cash. We have had a sinking fund, which we have been saving for the last 4 years, understanding that this is going to need to be replaced. And we're asking to be able to bring some of that to match and asking for $450,000 grant money from you. The question addressed the commitment with January. Our quote is to January. To answer that question, it would go up. We would expect the cost to rise by 3%, and that's what we've been included. And so we've included that in our request. Expecting to arrive in January, we have to 3%, and so we would be open to questions you have for us.
Okay. So your 3% increase included us 450 that you requested. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
So if we get you the approval today, you will reduce it by 3%.
If you can fund this in ag, reduce by 3%, that's correct.
What about 5%?
but I haven't had to fund it.
Black Friday is coming on.
Okay, that's fine.
Any further questions from the board? Commissioner Garrett, please.
Yeah, in email from Merrill Ross, it talks about an enforcer chassis, which is different than the one you want, and said that would even bring the price down more. So can you explain why you're going for the more expensive one where there's this other one that apparently, I don't understand trucks, but explain to me why the difference.
As explained to me, based on the needs and the area we should cover, we would need the more expensive one for our type of area. We have a lot of different areas we cover. And so that's what's been explained to me is that it would better suit our environment. We have a lot of rough environments.
It's not all roads that you can count your
So, Ryan, do you have that $10,000 cash, $100,000 cash in place already? And what is the source of that cash?
We do. We've been saving it from our general fund over the last 4 years.
So it is in place.
It is in place. We are ready to cure it.
So is the city putting approximately $25,000 a year aside for equipment purchases of this nature?
Yes. But we're putting $50,000. We're using $25,000 in the last 4 years for this one. We have the ladder truck we're starting to pay for, as well as other response vehicles. And so we do have and are working on continuing that. So if we could bring that money.
Okay.
That's excellent. I commend you for that. Thank you.
Commissioner?
You know, I think at least part of the conversation that Nagy brought up is saving $15,000 compared to, you know, several months later.
Right.
Any of us that are business people would say,
take the discount.
Something we need to consider as we talk about.
Is that a motion to suspend the fund?
It would be.
So we have a motion to suspend and fund at $435,000.
Second that.
Mr. Zanotti seconds that. Any further discussion and questions, Commissioner Potter?
I do, and before I make a possible substitute, as I reviewed what we've done with other engines this year, it's been generally a 50-50 grant, 50-50 loan in the district, and the city handling part of this is a loan. I know nobody wants it, but...
You know, our revenues are tied highly to the energy industry. Our revenues are down 30 to 35%. We're not in a position to take it on.
So would you go without the truck?
We won't have the truck. We would continue using a more expensive truck.
Just hope all the fires are down the hill instead of up the hill.
We would hope so. So please don't live up the hill.
Any further comments or questions?
One more question. Do you have a buyer for the old truck already?
We do not. We do not. And we
is
would
that an offer?
We would love to take any offers on that. It is in compliance with the safety for the fire protection agency. It would be difficult for us, and it is 28 years old. The wiring is corroding out, but it does look pretty good.
There may be somebody in here that needs a fire truck. Does anybody need a fire truck that goes downhill?
On fire, it sounds like. So we have a motion and a second. If there's no further conversation, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Wait a minute. Did you have a
vote? I didn't make the
change.
All right, this is suspended fund, $435,000, which means you can go buy that fire truck for Christmas.
Okay.
And keep putting money into that sinking fund.
We will do.
Because our fund is sinking as well. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
All right, for the rest of the applicants in the audience, Christmas is now over. Fruitless, I'm sorry, but if you'd like to come forward, we'll hope for a happy new year.
Good morning. I'm Bonner Hardigree. I'm the chairman of the Fruit and Special Services District. I can confirm that we are not rabbit gulch, so we do have rabbits. And I can confirm that we're fruitful, but we don't have any fruit. So.
I'm Mike Holliday here from
we're seeking a 50% grant for $10,000. In order to conduct a feasibility study. There's a subdivision on the Valley Del Paco that is located approximately a half a mile south of our nearest water source that is not part of this special services district at this time. There are approximately 50 lot owners up there and 40 residences. They have a private water system that's antiquated. They have a well and have some water rights that go along with that. They have approached us several times over the past few years to consider annexing them into the special services district. And we do have adequate water supply. And so we have asked Jones and DeMille to take a look at this from a feasibility standpoint to determine both the engineering and the project cost that might be involved. So we're requesting $10,000 to go along with $10,000 for this to provide in order to conduct the study.
Thank you. Candace brought up a point in her review regarding this being on the reservation, tribal lands. We discussed this previously. My understanding is that
can pay for the study, but as far as the actual purchase of the property or water rights and that things, that would not be an eligible CIP expense. So my question is, how would you fund the actual acquisition if the study indicated that that's what you should do?
Well, to my knowledge, we're not on private lands. Both private property ownership within the SSC, and I know that there are some reserved mineral right interests under much of that land, but to my knowledge, it's not on private lands.
Have you done any type of verification of that?
Well, I can tell you this, that you've done two funding for us in the past 2 years. One that was completed in 2014, which involved drilling a new water source well and expansion of the transmission line between the district. And also had some CIB support for a million-gallon refurbishment of a million-gallon storage tank.
So, Mike, would part of the study determine the actual ownership of land, right-of-ways, all those things?
Yeah, as far as if there's any acquisition required as far as right-of-ways and easements, that would all be determined, but none of the area that Bonner is talking about, nor the area between their nearest water source or and the subdivision is private land. It's all private.
Thank you. Appreciate that clarification. Further questions from the board? Mr. Denai?
What is your current connection fee for your sewer water?
Connection and impact fee totals $8,000.
Per unit, per household?
For
okay. So what is the contribution from the subdivision? Homeowners Association doing anything, giving anything?
That will be part of the study that we'll do. Part of this is going to be the economic feasibility as well. We've made no commitments to do this. All we want to do is find out what it will cost to do the project, what the engineering requirements would be, and then we will work with the Valley of Pioneers group to see what can be done to something that costs for the actual project implementation.
So they are already permitted to construct the 60 units?
I'm sorry.
The subdivision. Have they got permission to build
all
this?
It's an existing
subdivision. So they want to annex that to your sewer system or water?
They've asked us to examine the possibility of annexing it to the culinary water system.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Burrell?
Are you going to be looking at acquiring the annex, if it's feasible to annex? Are you going to acquire the well and the water rights that go with that and use it as a second source?
That is very likely, yes, sir.
Commissioner Jarrett?
I move approval. I think sometimes you're always a study before you move ahead and do a project like this, I think. In the best interest of all of us, so I move approval of that.
Mr. Jarrett has moved approval of the $10,000 grant. Is there a second?
I second the motion.
Mr. Farrell seconds. Any further conversation? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you for Christmas and down.
Priority.
Yes, that moves to the priority. Centerfield City, on the road again.
I'm Tom Swanson, Mayor of Centerfield.
I'm Jay Vizon, City Council Member.
I'm Jeff Albrecht from Forest
Survey. My first time here, so.
Well, welcome. We hope you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
The temperature just went up, I suspect, but it'll go back warm.
We are unfortunately asking for an incredible amount of money. Our roads are in disarray, and unfortunately, we live in a very economically stressed area in Centerfield. I don't know if all of you know where that's at, but it's about 140 miles south of here, right next to Gunnison. We are right in the middle of the coal industry, the oil industry. Redmond Minerals is now producing a lot of salt for all of your roads. And then we've got Staper Parsons, who have a pit right there. So incredible amount of heavy truck traffic. Um, unfortunately, our $60,000 that we get per year for Class B and Class B road fund money barely maintains what we've currently got. It's been over 30 years since we've put new pavement down. We've certainly tried to scab the roads together, which is unfortunately all that we've been able to do. Not sure if you noticed when I walked up here, I walked with a limp. That was from the pothole that I hit last night. Chief of police now has a four-wheel drive vehicle to make sure that he can get through those potholes to respond to calls. Unfortunately, we're in a bind, and we would certainly appreciate your consideration in allowing us to get some of these funds in order to reduce those. One of my councilmen, Councilman Sorensen, works for Robinson Transport, one of the large coal trucking companies down there. He's actually over our roads. I'll turn a little time over to him for a second. He can explain a little bit more, and then we'll move on.
As far as our roads go, I personally laugh. Our roads are in pretty bad condition. As far as the trucking that comes through our family, that's obviously in the rural area, we have a lot of the truck drivers, a lot of the coal miners live right in town. And we have approximately 85 trucks double shifted across the Transport Body Trucking has any equivalent or thereabouts. So we have anywhere from 300 loads of trucks going through our town every day, just on the coal. We also have the salt mine and all the UDOT sheds. They run right through our town, and that's where all the all of our roads are in pretty bad shape. We're trying to take care of and maintain as best as we can. We'd like to get on a 10-year plan to maintain those roads throughout the town. Right now, with the funds we have, we're losing ground. It would be 25 years before we get to the worst road. Actually, right now, we could be the best road, which would go 25 years. So it would be the worst road by now. So we are in dire need. We appreciate any help we can get. We have a big issue on our hands that we're trying to go there.
One of the other things that I just wanted to mention, the majority of our roads are 16 feet wide. We're going through some experiences right now in our town where we're trying to decide, do we allow these heavy trucks to come off the main highway onto our roads? Obviously, in the springtime, we have a lot of runoff with the water, and it certainly sloughs off the shoulders of the roads. So looking at that ordinance right now in order to update that. The only thing that, unfortunately, we have to offer would be our next 3 years' worth of road fund monies coming in. And with the $60,000 on average that we get, we'd be willing to give $50,000 a year for that for the next 3 years. And unfortunately, we'll take $10,000 to try and crack two of those really bad roads that are still, unfortunately, there. So.
I'll just reiterate the fact that a lot of this project is trying to widen the roads. When we assess the road situation there, just the regular passenger vehicle, you're only driving on the side of the road in order to pass traffic. It's just that many on the side, and I think if they're able to widen to an adequate width, hopefully the roads will last a little bit longer.
Thank you, gentlemen. We'll go to the board at this point for questions, starting with Mr. Galecki.
I know that it's tough because I live in Fairview, so you understand the small cities and being able to afford things. Now, you also mentioned that, the heavy traffic. Looking at the map, it looks like a lot of roads are dead end, that they really it only services a couple of houses.
Just to move us on that plan, this is actually a three-phase project, and the roads that are highlighted in yellow will be the first phase. That's where the majority of the population of Centerport lives, and unfortunately, those are some of the worst roads.
And I guess, as a city council, have you entertained areas, like you even mentioned, that you may not be able to afford to revert back to the roads? Have you considered some of that? I mean, like I said, some of these are just, you know, again, trying to live within our means. Some of these are dead-end roads.
Yes, we have actually. We actually have several gravel roads throughout the town that, you know, we try to maintain them, obviously they service a few households on each one of us.
And so the main traffic road is the one that's east-west and then 200 south, I think what was mentioned, is that it?
Actually, the main traffic road would be running north and south. That's Highway 89. Before it diverts off to 28, and then 89 continues to Manchester. These are all the sub-roads off the side of that.
The other question I had is that you mentioned, like, you know, the rotor milling stuff at $1.70 per square foot, and then in the price tag is $2.50 a square foot. I'm wondering why is that one of those increases?
You mentioned that it works for 50 units in the estimate, or are they saying that it's typically
50 typical costs? And then I guess what I struggle with is that we have another city in here that, you know, they their costs are half as much as far as bringing you know, chip seal in, and then, you know, the engineering costs, the mobilization, and you know, here's just one example is that, you know, rather than $1.70, it's $2.50.
Yeah, it may be that there has been a recent project with the gas prices in just in the last year and a half going from $4 to $2. That $1.70 is a more accurate figure right now. When we do the preliminary engineering, we go off and past experience of pricing, the worst thing you want to do is budget for going in and out, not have enough money. As you're aware, and you guys are aware, the quantity overruns on these things are hard to forecast sometimes as we explore these potholes and plan on putting asphalt down. All of a sudden, it becomes a soft spot repair, it turns into a $20,000 repair instead of another. So it may be on the concern of the size and expense side, but it's probably a result of a price and maybe it'll come down from what we
Thank you, Mr. Gillespie. Any other questions? Commissioner Adams?
I'm looking at the map on 3419. Again, I'm trying to understand the traffic pattern of the truck traffic. The truck traffic was on the main highway. Is there truck traffic that comes off the main highway and goes down 200 south or 400?
There is
a number
of ferries that are down there.
Tell us where the main truck traffic is on this map.
So Stanford Parsons is on 400 north at the pit above there.
That's not on the map.
200 south, we've got a number of ferries that are to the west of town. We've got heavy traffic going down there with milk trucks. 400 south is another one that's affected by that. And 200 north and 400 north.
But it looks like some of those roads are dead end. Did they just go down a little ways through town, turn around and come back, or?
The only dead end road that's actually on here would be one that goes to my house, which is part of the dirt road. And that's on 3rd South. The rest of these are all adjoining blocks. I'm not sure. So I think what we did when we highlighted the red was that the road may continue on, but it's not in dire need of being repaired this time.
So the 400 south is not a dead end road?
No. Well, it comes up in dead ends, yes, excuse me. And then eventually a designated truck route. And it would come up to 4th East.
So,
we've designated a truck route, you can see on 400 south where it starts in the red there, it comes up to 4th East, and then it continues on 4th North, up to 4th North, which is actually where Staker Parsons Pit is.
Now, just thinking about possible sources of revenue for repaying the loan or doing your maintenance and stuff, did Centerfield participate in the Proposition 1 vote last last month?
Yes, we did.
And did you pass it?
We just passed.
Do you have any idea what kind of revenue possibly that could bring?
I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood of about $16,000.
We could have just got Salt Lake County to just do their part. Really helpful. We're necessary. hope nobody's here from Salt Lake.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Potter?
You mentioned that this is a first of a three-phase project.
Yeah, but all possible.
What are the other phases? What are the dollars that are associated with that? And are you looking at coming to this board for those?
I believe in that original application, our preliminary estimate is over $6 million. Not necessarily split up in thirds by cost. We looked up the town and designated just for area-wise of town and for worst portion of town that needed fixed first. But our original estimate was just over $6 million. And unless something drastic happens, we would be back to that or anything.
My concern with the project is not that you don't need it, but my concern is that I don't know, again, how we can afford to pave every city road in rural Utah. I think if the application was talking more about your truck routes, but within the city itself, I, again, really struggle with that. Even though you're a slight producing county, the revenues that San Pete County continues to take versus what is available for this board is very, very minimal. Now, we hope that will change with Black Canyon Coal, but I really think that my proposal, my motion would be to reject this project as it's currently written and ask you to go back and reassess really where your truck routes are and how you would regulate that and other means of working through your city roads different than the impact that's there. I just don't see the feasibility of funding $2,200,000 out of these funds based on what you proposed today. That'll be my motion.
We have a motion from Commissioner Potter to reject this project and send it back to the drawing board. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second.
Commissioner Winterton, second set.
Can I amend the motion to just put it on the pending list to let them go back and reevaluate rather than reject the whole application? I think we obviously seen their need. I think it's just for them to reevaluate what are the more critical roads in that first section they've already indicated are the worst and downsize the project where they can, but not reject at all and have them reapply, just maybe put on the pending and let them come back.
Would that be acceptable?
No, just reject it and have it be.
But you would have to make a substitute motion?
I would reject the motion that should be in the pending.
Mr. Garrett makes a substitute motion to put it on the pending list with the instruction that they come back looking more particularly at just the trucking routes. I need a very second to that motion.
I'll second that.
We have a second from Greg Galecki. Any conversation on that motion? Seeing none, we'll take a vote. All in favor of the substitute motion, say aye.
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 Yeah.
Hands, please. We have Greg. Claudia. Okay, those opposed by a show of hands. Yay! Mayor, I'm going to vote to reject the application. Because I think there's too many questions for Simple to put it on the pending, and given our financial crisis, which I'm sure you can understand, I think it's the prudent thing for this board to do at this time. And here are some of my major concerns. In reading the UDOT review, what you're proposing is going to result most likely in reflective cracking, which means we'd be right back here in a few years, especially with the truck traffic. It only takes one truck on 2 inches to just get right back where you started. So I don't think we're solving the problem. In fact, I think the entire application doesn't solve the problem. I think it's just kind of kicking the can. The comment that going back to gravel is very much a reality, unfortunately, for so many communities, not to mention yours. There's also some question about grading and draining.
One of the biggest problems we have on rural roads is that everybody drives on the shoulder because, like you say, the road's only so wide. And without proper drainage, that just exacerbates that problem. So I think there are some real engineering concerns with the way this project has been submitted, and it needs to go back to the drawing board. Now, having said that, I want to personally encourage you to come back to the board after looking at the engineering, looking at the concerns that you guys presented, listening to the concerns the board has, and come back with a plan that says these roads we can let go to gravel, these roads we can get by with maybe 2 inches of overlay, these we can get by with just maintenance, and these truck routes we're going to have to re-engineer and redo, and any way you can bring more skin to the game, I know that's a huge ask, I'm not going to pretend it's not, I think would be helpful as well. So I appreciate the efforts that you've made. I understand your situation. Again, I encourage you to come back. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
I carried the vote.
Oh, I see. Okay. Can I make a final comment? So,
is it going to cost us?
No.
Okay, then. Yeah.
I'm Chris Wilson. I'm the UDOT.
Yeah.
I have a lot of resources available that we can help provide. So, okay. You just call UDOT Escrow Support.
Also, for everyone to make note, we do have a tool on our website now, the Community Impact Fund website, that will help with evaluating these roads. And that, in conjunction with working with UDOT and Chris and his team, I think will be helpful. So just wanted to mention that. Thank you.
Keith, we never voted on Jay's motion. We just voted on the substitute motion.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
Okay, that's what Greg was getting at.
All right. Let's go and reverse ourselves
then. Yeah. Come on, Greg. Okay. So, your motion did not carry.
Yeah, you voted against it.
You voted against it. So we'll go back to Jay's motion, which is to reject it. So all in favor of the motion by Commissioner Potter to reject and the second by Ron Winterton, say show hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And those opposed? 1, 2, 3.
I want to be consistent.
So that motion carries. Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Mr. Glecky. I was so caught up in being the bad guy. Likewise. Is the board inclined to take a break or hear another project? Let's take a break then. Well, welcome to the town of Fayette. You gentlemen will introduce yourselves and tell us about yourself.
Thank you. I'm the mayor of Fayette. On my left is Ron Keller, who is the mayor-elect. And on my right is Lynn Wald, who is our engineer. Last funding cycle, we came to you for a project that is $930,000 to do the roads in Fayette. During the hearing, the chairman asked if we could divide the project into phases because of the same thing that Mr. McKee today. We had the same problem last time, and undoubtedly it was confusion. So at the meeting, we did create two phases, and you approved the first phase for $450,000. We're here today to ask you to fund the second phase for $480,000. That will allow us to complete the project. We have a plan for maintenance with including an application. Thanks to some great work by our county commissioner and others, Sandy County approve Proposition 1. So we have hopefully additional money coming to the community to provide for maintenance as was complete our project. And we'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor-elect, welcome.
Thank you.
Any questions from the board?
I have a question.
Mr. Denali, we'll start with you.
Mayor, what is the status of phase one? Status of phase one, yes. What have we done with it?
Phase one, we have gone out for bid, approved the bids, and the only reason we haven't started any of the construction work is because they did not want to put down asphalt after October 1st. I think that's what the UDOT suggested. So we're waiting for better weather to move further on page 1. The bids have been a bit of that version.
So we move forward.
And the engineering was
prepared. Phase 1 included, we are going to road O'Neill, part of the roads, and we are putting down asphalt on some of the roads, new asphalt in some places. Phase 2 will be mostly chip seal.
Okay.
And you know, there will be some more cracking to avoid in phase 2, but that's the way it's broken up.
Thank you. Mr. Thornton?
I guess mine's more of a comment. You know, since I've had all engineering questions, I'd like to point out how quite and how a good job on the engineering did as far as saving costs, and that you didn't even have an increase in coming, from the project you split in half. And I think it's the engineering as far as mobilization and engineering costs are all real low. And so that's what helps the project make me feel more comfortable with the project.
Thank you. We tried to divide in the project, but each phase should be a standalone project. So we don't have to keep talking about this much.
Commissioner
Garrett,
so if this project is funded in the February meeting and we're not doing phase one until the summer, how would this project dovetail into phase one, and do you have savings like mobilization, engineering, if they're sort of phase one and phase two done in the same summer? I guess that's kind of my question.
We're going to, we've already got this for phase one, of course, and as Mayor said, on phase two, we'll bid the project again. It's the same contractor as Spencer Parsons, with the low bidders on the last on the first day. And if they get it, then we'll dovetail them together. If they don't get it, just the next day, then we'll just have two different contracts. My guess is, chances are our Spencer has already been the low bidder. They were the low bidder by quite a long way. I'm just guessing that they'll have an advantage because they'll already be mobilized, so their cost on the second bid will be lower. I'm just hoping they'll just go across it. That's what we're trying to do.
Commissioner McKee, this isn't really too much of a question. It's just kind of more of a thought. Maybe I'll set my thought up a little bit. I remember when Jordan was the chair and Duchesne County had come in with a bunch of projects, and Jordan said, Duchesne, you need to pace yourself. You know, he kind of reminded everybody of the number of projects that had come in there. We just barely, funded phase one. I'm just wondering if we need to pace ourselves a little bit along the same kind of thought. I'm not saying the need isn't there. I have no doubt about the need. It's just a matter of pacing ourselves. That's just my overall kind of thought.
We addressed that question as we looked at the phasing and determined that the cost savings, if State Department fits and accepts it, because of the lack of need for further mobilization and other things, would actually reduce the cost of the project and thus save us a significant amount. And that's basically why we are trying to pull them together rather than strip them apart.
I have a comment.
Okay.
So you guys have overlaid and or milled and overlaid the first phase, and you're going to chip seal the rest of it, right? So,
it's go to mill and the action, facilitates those that we're going to put asphalt on.
And so with the main goal of this project is the chip seal. That's really your wearing course, right? You put in the structural course with the first phase, and now you're putting in the oil and the wearing course for the new roadways. So that's going to help protect those roadways and get them to last longer.
Okay, let me explain that. That's somewhat true, although in phase one, our phase one is a standalone project. The chip seal is going to go on other roads in town that we didn't go to mill and that we did not put asphalt on. Okay, so just to clarify. Okay.
Any other questions?
So, Chris, while you're explaining yourself, on the page that you have recorded, last paragraph, bottom sentence says, perhaps this grant could include the small investment of the high-level pavement management. What do you mean by that?
So that's that same comment that was pretty typical of the pavement management plan, just that mini stiff that I kind of explained at the first meeting.
So the city should include in their estimate of what they're asking for from CID, or in their
own management? Well, not necessarily right now, but just to consider it in the future for CID's.
Road management
plan.
Okay.
And that was just a typical comment that we made.
So to invest our own investment, well, to protect investment that we're making in those communities?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
If I may, what's the plan for phase three? Your timing? Are there roads left?
Phase three will conclude the project that we envisioned it. As we have included our maintenance plan in the application, and so we'll just continue on the basis of the maintenance plan for the foreseeable future with all the roads completed after phase two.
Any further questions from the board? Commissioner Mayor, mine has to go back to Proposition 1. What is your anticipated or the revenue coming from software?
We anticipate between $2,000 and $5,000. We're not totally sure. That's the estimate. Add that to our growth funds, and we will have enough then to do well our maintenance program in the future.
So that's all going to be applied to future maintenance. So there's not any possibility of taking any of this out in some form of a loan.
That's part of my concern here. In our original, I think in the minute it said it's about 45% was grant, the other part being in loan. And if we kind of set the precedent where we say we're going to grant 100% the need, because there is a need. I'm not taking away the need. It's just a matter of if we do that here, in any town or county or community that says we have a need and we're going to grant this 100% grant, how do we reconcile that? And again, it's part of my concern is we just barely fund this other project. I just think we need to pace ourselves. At minimum, I would like to see something in the same terms we were going to do it that we just did. Because I think it's really puts us in a difficult position. Another community comes in a few minutes and says, we're willing to pay half grant, half loan. And how do we have consistency if we just say we're going to grant this 100% grant? I think it's not that we don't want to, it's just how do we do that with all the communities up and down the state that would say, I want 100% grant to fix my road?
Is there a motion in there?
There might be more discussion. I made two motions today. I did not. Why
stop it up here? Mr. Chairman, could I respond to that in some way? Communities are very different. When you have small communities like Fayette, they have really no tax base.
our revenue comes from our water system. That really harms the community. You'll notice from the application, because of previous grants to maintain our water system, or previous loans to maintain our water system, we've basically used what we took of the revenue that comes in now to pay those loans off for the next 10 years. If we waited until we were able to pay enough of the loans off so that we could add more money to the transportation system, we've been waiting a long time, and those roads would have deteriorated to the point where they would have to probably all be replaced. You got to answer that better than I can. So each community, even though I know you like a formula, kind of a stamp in for each community, we're so different based on our revenue for no other reason. You almost have to look at us each individually. I'm not making a case necessarily to pay up, but it's just you can't stamp it the way I know we'd all like to make sure that we're all being treated the same way.
With that, Mr. Chairman, I would make a motion. It's not that I'm not sympathetic to them, but every small town up and down the state, I think, feels very, very similar. And it's not that we wouldn't like to. I just think we just don't have the funds to. So my motion would be to deny.
We have a motion from Commissioner McKee to deny. Is there a second to that motion?
Particularly with the fact that we have just, did a project, just in the last funding cycle. So I think we need to pace ourselves a little bit.
Is there a second?
Second.
Commissioner Potter? Any further discussion?
Can I make a substitute motion?
We have a substitute motion from Claudia Jarrett, too.
In the previous application, I think the discussion was the project wasn't ready, but they have done a thorough analysis of truck routes and whatever. I think in this case, Fayette has done that, and they have phased the project, and they have completed phase one and phase two, I think, gets them pretty well done. I think if we give them the caution that from here forward, their road projects, there can't be much in phase three left, that be done with now their new money and DMC funds coming from FOP 1, they continue their maintenance, that further use of CID for road projects should now be under them, that we let them get the project done. I just see the two projects really different, Sheffield and Fayette, and would like to make a substitute motion that in this case we approve it. It is a small little town. I just think they have no other means to really get ahead. I think just get them where they need to be. So that's my substitute motion, is to approve this applied.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second that motion.
Steve Farrell seconds that motion. Any discussion? Okay, we will vote on that motion by a show of hands. All those in favor of the motion to approve as presented, signify the uplifted hand. Greg Galinsky, Jim Mattson, Steve Farrell, and Claudia Jarrett. By a show of hand, all those opposed to that motion? We'll go back to the original motion from Commissioner McKee and Commissioner Potter to reject. All in favor of that motion, show of hands. Same five. And those opposed to that motion?
Same
five. Five again.
You can exercise your right. That's the show.
What do you need?
Just don't try to get this for good time.
I vote to approve the motion from Commissioner McKee and Commissioner Potter to reject the project.
What?
I vote in favor of rejection.
Oh, okay.
First motion.
Okay, the one on the table.
I'm sure there's no prejudice. I can
see. So we have instruction for them. The last one we said we were there.
Right.
Sir.
Thank you, Mr. Gillespie.
Mayor, do you have any questions?
It's hard to assess the performance of the board, quite frankly. I remember what happened to Mayfield, and some of the other projects that you've approved. I don't think we're as clear cut as ours. I don't know what to do. When we will come back to you, but it will be with a higher amount, because the next time we come back, the contractors will need more money. And, so I'm concerned. I don't know how to reach you.
Let me help you with that. Unfortunately, I believe in living within your means, and this board right now is looking at a $30 million deficit for this trimester. And in good faith, I can't spend $500,000 as a giveaway to any community when I've got a $30 million deficit. That just doesn't work in my brain of I live within my means. You have a project that hasn't even started yet. You are free to come back to the board at any time, under any circumstances, and request whatever you'd like, of course. We don't anticipate things to change significantly with our funding outlook in the near future, but it does change month to month, and hopefully when next time you come back, we are in a better position to help you out. But at this time, looking at the numbers, we just don't see it. So that would be my parting counsel. We appreciate the efforts you made and the good work you're doing. Again, it's not a reflection of the project or the quality of the project. The timing is beneficial to save a dime, but it's like my wife who's out shopping right now. She's saving me money, as Commissioner Adams would say. And when you don't have money to save, then you have to make those hard decisions. So we appreciate you, gentlemen. Okay. So, I'll have to go through it again. Those, Commissioner McKean, Commissioner Potter, were the motion and the second. All those who are in favor of that motion, Commissioner Adams, Commissioner Winterton, Commissioner Dancy, and Chairman Eaton.
Are the numbers the same?
Wait. Adams, Potter, Winterton,
McKean. McKean. You made the motion?
There's five.
Okay. Got it.
Can
you dig out the other five then?
Just like rubbing salt in the wound. Santa Clara, thank you for coming forward. Let me just say, as an avid cyclist, I love this project, and I hope that bias does not come into play.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Mayor Rick Rosenberg from Santa Clara. My public works director, Jack Taylor, is on my right, and John Bronson was signed. Thanks to our financial advisor for the city. This project is the final phase. The improvements have been made to Santa Clara Drive, the old Highway 91 project that's been going on for over 20 years now. This project is the last 3/4 mile from the far west end of the city. It goes from about the Jacob Hamlin home up into Ivan City, up past the cemetery. This is a very narrow, windy, graded piece of highway that is becoming, traffic has increased dramatically, particularly amongst cyclists, and has been a safety issue for a number of years. We've been working with the MPO to get the UDOT funds that you see on the application over a multi-year period. We've been building those funds where we feel like we have enough money to do the project. It's gone through the design project phase with it's out for bid right now. We should have our numbers back December 15th, and we're hopeful that the bids are down, we would need the money. But right now, looking at the estimates and going through the UDOT review, we do need some additional funds. We've sharpened our pencils already, and I've gone back and said, what can we afford as a loan? And we've asked for approximately half of the money in loan fund, this is a safety project. The old Highway 91 is still the detour if anything happens in the Virgin River Gorge. last year, last previous years, we've had some major flooding and so that Nissan has impacted the gorge. When that happens, the traffic comes up over Nissan Hill and down through Santa Clara on this route. So we see the full impact of I-15 during those periods. We also see impacts like now where they're doing bridge reconstruction in the gorge. The alternate routes to avoid that construction may have multiple hour delays, especially on holiday weekends. Down there, that comes up over the top and through Santa Clara. And so the need is there to get this road finished. We have been putting money aside on the city system and our transportation funds and also our storm drainage funds. So we have the city match portion is available. The other funds are also available now. Projects design bids are open. We're ready to go. I also wanted to thank you for the work you've helped the city in the past. I appreciate your service on this board and for the funding that Santa Clara received in 2012 for the Heights Waterline Project. It's made a real difference in the city, and we appreciate that.
Mr. McKee? One of the things that I would say that I really like that you've done in your project here is you're coming up with $215,000 cash. You've got federal funds of $175,000. You've got the state grant, the state grant of $3,251,000. And I think trying to put together all those partnerships, you know, it's just a compliment of trying to put all that together. Seriously, trying to put everything you can with your own resources, the federal, state, and then you're trying to finish it off. So just a comment, I appreciate, you know, your work for trying get all the partnerships you can and finish it off good. Mm-hmm.
That comment, Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion to approve the project. Nothing is to approve it.
Second.
We have a motion from Mr. Zanotti and a second from Commissioner Mathen to approve as presented. Further discussion or questions? Mr. Jarrett?
I'm making a substitute motion again. Again, I think Washington County is a high producing county. I think in those cases we've always said loan. So my substitute motion is that it all be loan 10 years or 2 years out.
So the full amount, $485,000 loan, 10 years at 2.5% interest.
Thank you.
Is there a second to that motion? Commissioner Adams?
I'll second the motion with a comment. If it would help them, Claudia, would you be willing to extend the number of years a little bit more?
I think that would be the NCC contract.
Okay.
For the
NCC. All right.
Yeah, it has to be 10 on the NCC unless they don't use the NCC funds. If they do a different revenue source, so I think that would
Mayor, be. Would there be another possible revenue source that you could think of?
And we sharpened our pencil when we came and asked for the amount of loan now. We are still paying off loans, other loans that we got out there available that need to be paid. We have some pending issues with landslide mitigation taking us, and I would really like to you have to consider the grant.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Zanotti?
May I offer some personal observation also? Recent flooding that they had in Santa Clara has really impacted quite a bit of that roadway. It's not of their own choice to build it, the mitigation. And also the Las Vegas road. If you remember, I-15 beyond the gorge got washed out, and they had to reroute all the traffic from the Beaver Dam and affected the mayor's community and also Ivan City. So those are the things, actually, he has to pay for it, not necessarily his own choice in his community.
We're still paying off a loan that we had to take out to replace our share of the Lord Silicon Wash detention basin that washed out in 2012 and flooded 61 homes, damaged 19 businesses. It put a number of our businesses, and Santa Clara is not a major commercial center. We have small business, and it took them right off the table. They're gone as a result of that flood. We borrowed money to help with the FEMA match, and we're paying that back still as we speak. So we're stretched our loan as far as we'd like to get done. I want to get this project done. and we may have to scale something back. I really don't want to, because everything that's in that project is needed. It's necessary.
And Commissioner, Jack reminds me that while Santa Clara is not a producing county, they do participate in a few amps who burns a lot of coal.
How much can you increase that?
We'd like to increase it a whole lot.
Jay,
did you pass Proposition 1 yet? Are you going to get any money from Proposition 1?
We were a strong supporter. However, our county commission has decided to wait and may put it on the ballot this year. It wasn't on the ballot in Washington County.
Maybe they can help you.
They were afraid of the rabbit.
No, we have a Commissioner Winterton,
my question is that this is an alternate route for a UDOT. It's a state highway. I really don't feel like we should be investing in state highways. And I realize part of the project does have drainage in that. I wondered if they've talked to water quality, if there's any funds available there. Because, I just don't feel like that we should be stepping up to do what UDOT should, whether it's sidewalks or
it's not a state highway. They turned it back to us. It's an alternative route that gets used.
Well, if they're going to use it as their alternate, I think they need to step up more. I mean, that's my personal opinion. But
they also paid $3.25 million for the UDOT portion.
Yeah. And the LPO is providing a significant portion of funds.
That's putting that $3.25 million.
I appreciate all the comments. Let's call for the vote. All in favor of the substitute motion, let it all be loan. Show of hands, please. Can we read along, please?
Yes.
Greg Galecki, Bruce Adams, Dave Potter, Claudia Jarrett, Ron Winterton.
We're having fun today, aren't we?
All those Mike McKee, Steve Farrell, David Banshee, Jim Matson. Let me guess.
Mary Marge is a cyclist.
Should I recuse myself?
I've never seen this. I've been on
it. I know.
Since 30 years. Three times in one
year. Do you have an order? Can I make a substitute motion?
You could make a substitute motion. But let me save you the grief of that. Because then we'll go back to the real motion and you can substitute at that point, I think. Is that appropriate?
If the motion fails, then
because there is a vote on the table.
We can do a substitute motion here.
So, I'm going to, in that case, vote against so that we see what happens with the rest of this. So, that takes us back to the original motion. So, Tom, you're saying we can accept the substitute at this point, or we need a vote? And
well, someone can make a substitute.
We could make a substitute. So, Greg, let's hear your substitute motion.
Okay. Now,
I hope we did that right.
So, I guess, do you say it has to be 10 years, Claudia? It can only be 10 years?
For DMC funds, if that's what they use to retire a loan.
Oh, so maybe mine won't work. Because what I'm hearing is I saw that you used Apple Valley for 30 years. Let's. So, you know, so the $27,000 a year that you were going to pay loan, that was going to be out of your BNC funds?
Can I try substitute to get more support? What about $142,000 grant? And then add the rest of that to a loan?
So that's a 343 loan?
It's kind of splitting the baby a little bit. But
it's
giving them some help. There's point old Claudia and others are making about, you know, the producing county. It is kind of splitting a little bit.
343?
So would you state those numbers loud?
Sure. What you would have is we'd have the same amount of $485,000 request with $142,000 of it being a grant and $343,000 being a 10-year, 2.5% loan. That's the motion from Commissioner McKee. Let me get a second first. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second it.
Ron Winterton is the second. Mayor, did you have a statement?
Is there any possibility of reducing the interest rate?
Anything's possible, but generally in non-producing counties, we don't go with a lower interest rate. Questions or discussion from the board? The payment will be $54,000 a year, according to our staff.
So, John, based on the new calculation, are you going to be able to afford to support the town?
We have a professional actually doing it for math.
Okay.
He doesn't bring
the okay, I did the math.
That's your job, yeah.
You got to bring your calculator.
I don't have an HP 12C. That is
I have one
truly a relic.
The payment is 38.
38.
On 343. On the full amount, it was 50.
If there's no further discussion from the board, all in favor of the substitute to the substitute to the substitute? Say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, show of hands. Jay Potter, Nagy Donati, and Claudia Jarrett are opposed. Any abstentions? The motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
That smell is Miss Me sweating up here. I can only imagine how bad it is back there.
The motion is 142,000 grant, 343, and 10 years, 3.5%.
The third time, 7%.
So, the election never made a substitute.
No, no, he did not.
The first, the substitute, and the second substitute. That was fun.
Yeah. Circleville. I bet you just can't wait.
We do this four times.
I feel like James T. Kirk up here. Boldly going where no one's gone before. Please introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about your project.
I'm Mayor Bonnie from Circleville. Jordan Gash from Circleville. These are road bands over
Ryan's side of the side for them.
First, I'd just like to say thank you very much for the first half that we funded for and we completed on the road project. Basically, the first half was just to get all the drainage thing out so that any such chicken and bugs could be used. We were going to get to the last, so we could put it into a place that
David, we came in here the first time around to do the whole project, and we were requested to do the phasing, and at the time, we just offered $320,000, which I wasn't sure would cover everything that we needed to do. And as part of the beyond this road project, we had an issue with one of our roads starting to completely fall apart, and I called Dennis and talked to her about doing an emergency repair on this project, and we worked through that with Dennis, and he was part of that $320,000 to take care of the emergency that we have with that piece of the road.
Let's go to the board for questions. Mr. McKee?
You know, again, this is a very worthy project, but my concern is a little bit just like we were talking up in the you know, again, just a matter of consistency. How is San Pete County going to feel?
It's Paiute.
But no, but the earlier app, yeah, it was going to be in San Pete, where we rejected that, and then if we were to give this a full 100% grant, again, I think with our funding and everything we have, recently we also did the same thing. We gave a pretty good grant to IU recently. I'm trying to remember what that was on.
Phase one.
So it's very kind of similar circumstances to what happened in Fayette. And again, just with our funding, I think we just have to take the cells. And it's not that Paiute isn't important, it is, but I just think we have to kind of, I think we have to pace ourselves on this.
Part of the issue that we had when we went into this project, when we were asked about doing a part of it, doing a drainage project, my concern was that when we put equipment out on those roads, we would tear the roads up. Well, there are several roads now that are basically gone because the asphalt wasn't there to hold up the equipment that we needed to have. So now the roads are in worse shape than they were when we did the original project. And so we've got the project down. We did the drainage project, got it completed. And now, you know, we're here to try and get the roads back up to where they were before, at least, and try and get some maintenance so that they can keep the maintenance being going. You know, one thing that we're looking at trying to do in Miami County is, most of you maybe are aware of it, but we're a long ways from the nearest oil and asphalt pit. So about one half of their Class B and C road funds goes to mobilization just to get someone there to do a chip seal project. So I have been working with the mayor of Circleville Junction, Kingston, and Marysville. And what we're going to try to do from now on is combine a project and reduce that so that maybe instead of $10,000 in mobilization, each town pays $2,000 in mobilization. And try and see if we can save some money that way and get the Class B and C road funds to stretch a little bit.
Mr. Donati? Mayor, are you in a position to split that half loan, half grant, and the loan to be 10 years at 2.5%?
How long is that going to be?
10 years loan, 2.5% for the BNC loan.
We have about 40,000 a year, so we have to get the loan funds for the BNC.
So the fact that you want to get to, if you're not going to accept that kind of proposition similar to that, you're going to get with denial as Commissioner
Bukit.
Right. But the 10 year for 2.5%, which is the ordinary for the BNC roads, and then half as a grant. So you will have the Merry Christmas. If you do, you can manage them.
That'd be $27,000.
867.
So you basically have to cross the CEO funds for 10 years.
And hopefully the things will improve, the energy costs will go up, they have more money, you will have more money, something that...
Yeah,
I'm experiencing. If that's the case, I'll make a motion, Mr. Chairman. It should happen half grant, half...
So we ground up the loan at 250 because we have to.
Exactly.
We give you 250 grant. So, motion from Mr. Zanotti.
Second.
What is the interest rate?
2.5.
The same thing with
2.5, 10 years. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
Claudia, we'll give you the second. And any further discussion?
I want to make it. No, I'm just kidding.
Thanks, Chris.
I
got three minutes.
I will make it.
Okay.
And that is that, again, we deny this one just simply because of the timing in it. And, I know that your roads have experienced, but your drains have been fixed. So the idea of putting the county, the cities within the county, make a really good idea as far as mobilization and look at what other projects there are there. But that's my motion.
We have a motion from Commissioner Potter to reject. Is there a second to that motion? Commissioner McKee, second. Excuse me. Any discussion on that motion?
What are your reasoning again? I'm not sure. Just the same process that we are with Fayette, different projects, but the last one was grant, phase ones are complete, we turned that one down.
sounds like they do have some other alternatives as far as combining some resources with the other communities. And I just think where we turned one down today, I think that it's prudent, especially with our money management.
Dr. Fayette did not accept the alternative mode of financing. So they just simply said they're just going to take it or leave it. Maybe in this situation we'll have to go half and half, so I thought maybe that would be an opportunity for them.
There is a difference, sir.
Yes.
There is a difference. It's more in a position to take on the
loan. Right.
Any further discussion? Okay. Well, we'll call the question then. All in favor of the motion to reject, show of hands, please. I'll read them for you. Bruce Adams, Jay Potter, Ron Hickman, Mike McKee.
We want the chief to vote again.
I understand. They're having so much fun. Let's not stop now. All opposed? Show of hands? Any abstentions?
We can figure the math on who's opposed and who's right. I don't need to read them all off.
You might as well read it for the record.
Okay, so we're back to the original motion, which was half grant, half loan, 2.5%, 10 years. All in favor of that motion, show of hands. Greg Bianchi, Jim Madison, Nagy Donati, Dave Hanson, Claudia Jarrett, Ron Winterton, Steve Farrell, Mike McKee. Okay. That motion passes. Thank you for your willingness to negotiate.
Thank you.
I appreciate you guys getting me on. But is there any way that when we do these road projects like this, that we can get your comments before this meeting?
I actually thought that my comments were going to go out with the packet.
They do. Yeah, but the applicant doesn't see the packet, the board does. Okay. Nate, let me ask you a question. When you do those, do you share with the applicant?
Yes.
Do we share with
them? No, I'm talking to Nathan.
I'm looking behind you. He just wanted to give me a chance to speak in his
meeting. Because he looks so sharp today.
So, yes, I get a copy of the application, which has the email addresses for the applicant, and I CC them on my review, so they have it up. A lot of times that will facilitate questions. If they disagree, we can get it worked out beforehand instead of trying to hash it out in the meeting. So that's what we generally do.
Chris, does that work for you?
Of course.
Then absolutely we will do that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for the suggestion. Really? Well, one of the prerogatives of being the chairman is that you get to make speeches. I feel a speech coming on. You know, when we first entertained funding road projects, it was in the heyday of the fund when we had more money than we could reasonably spend. And even in that environment, this board very reluctantly made no decision. And oftentimes when no decision is made, that is a decision. And so the communities received the message that we would entertain road projects. So here we are several years later. And, you know, it takes some time for these things to process, and we have an entire agenda basically full of road projects with no end in sight, as was brought out by the board. And so I think the board acted judiciously and fairly in denying some applications, something that you all know is rather rare, and forcing the chairman to actually do something in the meeting, which is even rarer. So thank you for that. But I think we're going to have to continue to make these kind of difficult decisions. And I hope that as applicants, people are getting the message that, you know, we just can't hand out a free lunch, especially when it comes to roads, and continue to do the community centers, the public safety, et cetera, et cetera. And there's only so much money available. And so I commend the board for the open and frank dialogue. I think that's very refreshing that we can behave professionally and that all opinions are valued and respected, and we come to a decision. Now, not everyone agreed with every decision, but I think we were respectful and stood both sides of each issue, and I'm sure the applicants appreciate that. So personally, my thanks to you as board members for making difficult decisions and holding the line when we just don't have the resources. So we'll move forward and hope for more oil. Any other speeches?
You know, as we face revenue shortages due to what's happening to commodities, whether it's coal or energy products and the rest, what's the trajectory or trend looking like as far as what we earn, you know, with our previous programs and all, you know?
We're talking about the program income, the interest that comes back?
What's the rate of travel that we can be looking at as we look at
Kimberly Schmeling, our finance director, has done some of those projections, and they vary a little bit. So, Kimberly, can you answer that question?
Yeah, our
income, of course, is... Kimberly, would you come up to the mic? I know it's fun hiding behind the partition. I'd like to be there myself.
I've done projections, but I presented some last summer at the retreat. And our retained income, of course, looks very, very good. The board has done an excellent job over the last 30 years making loans. And the exponential growth of that over the next decade is looking very good. Right now, we're pulling in, as I recall, our bonus payment was about 20 million, and our mineral lease payment was about 13 million. So we're pulling in, you know, 25 million or so in retained income, in addition to the roughly 6 million of new money that has been traditional our revenue. That said, of course, we are seeing a drop off. We've seen a drop of about 55% in terms of all mineral lease income of the state. It has appeared to have leveled off, which is a good sign, and even creeped up just a smidge.
There's a lag, though, that.
Yeah.
That's dropped again.
I think it will go up and down. I don't think it's going to necessarily be as scabby as it is. So if you're looking at, you know, 15 numbers where we took in total reached the 64 million, and I wouldn't say the drop off, 65% from there, it's very, 15 was about 4 months out of yours, and I've already seen that drop. But so you're looking at new issues maybe in the range of about 40 million probably at best. And that's our projection. Now, our repayment income has continued to rise consistently, but we're looking at 3 to 4 or 5 million additional dollars a year.
Thank you, Senator.
So it would seem that as we approach our projects with a base of so much grant and loan and with term along with interest rates, we ought to be paying attention to that particular factor, because I think that helps this program quite a bit.
It definitely does. And when I don't have the information, we track the trends from the time I started, which was in the 90s, up through now, and definitely go back in the... Back in the 90s, we were looking at revenues that were obviously significantly lower. We were maybe taking about 20 million or maybe, and in new money. And even then, using those limited resources, making loans, we built that repayment level to what it is today. So that was very smart thinking.
I think it helps the applicants as well to understand or to get an idea of what they can expect from us as we go through this process. We've already talked about the soft cap of $5 million, but also I think we ought to be thinking in terms of how much can they really put on the table and what will it cost them. And this negotiation right here puts them in a spot. I think we just need to keep understanding that the best possible extent they can, they need to be prepared for that kind of dialogue.
And staff really makes a concerted effort to notify them of that fact and advise them. Oftentimes they ignore that, but they are prepped by Candace and her staff very well. But that's the case. It's an excellent point. Thank you.
If you want to hurry, you can come in with all along.
Commissioner McKee, you got a comment?
Yeah, just, you know, that's kind of one ender, but Commissioner Winterton and I and any of the producing counties see this, but One time we had 50 drilling rigs out in the basin. Today there are 5 or 6 statewide. All of those are in the Yuma Basin. A rig can drill maybe double what it used to because of new technologies. But you have to continue to drill. You've got to keep that going, or your production curve goes down. Y'all can't see this. This is the natural gas production for this year in Uinta County. 2/3 of the natural gas the state of Utah comes out of Uinta County. It's just what happens to have it. I've got similar curve on oil, but if we don't drill, you know, we're not only affected by price. As I mentioned, price of oil yesterday was $37.25 or something a barrel. We were well over $100 a barrel. Natural gas used to, we at one time were $6 an MCF, 1,000 cubic feet on gas. Yesterday, I believe it was $2.05. And so what you're going to be seeing in receipts moving forward is a further decline. And what happens from here going on? There's, you know, the Saudis and others have said, we are going to ensure we keep our market share. In other words, whatever the price is, we don't care. We will make the price low enough that we maintain our market share. Other people will cut. We will not. So that's a reality we have to look at.
I was just going to say, with that drilling, most of it is taking place right now on private land, not on our federal land, and that's where this mineral lease comes from. And so we're seeing a decline in the actual production numbers off from the federal lands. And so we're seeing production might stay up, but for our mineral lease, it is down.
Yeah. And in terms of the ratio, in 2012, our ratio was about 80-20, 80% new money, 20% repayments. Just in that 3-year period, we've gone down to a 65-35 split. So 65% new money, 35% repayment. Largely because the new receipts have dropped off. Not because the repayments have risen some, but it's largely because the new receipts have dropped off.
Commissioner Adams and Commissioner Butter?
Yeah, there, I think a significant issue that maybe not all board members might understand, but might be helpful is what Mike's saying and what Ron is saying. In San Juan County, we can't even get a lease sale to happen because of opposition from those who are against fossil fuels being produced. We have companies that have nominated parcels to be leased on federal land, and there's so much opposition by the environmental organizations opposed to leasing of any kind. The BLM can't even hold a lease anymore. And it's going to...
That's our bonus money for those that don't know. That's where the bonus money is.
67% of the state of Utah is federal land. And if they're going to shut down drilling on federal land, it's going to affect what happens on this board significantly. And I think we have one rig in San Juan County in 8 million square miles, or 5 million acres, I'm sorry.
That include the annex extension?
We have one rig drilling right now, and we have a number of parcels that were supposed to be leased in February. They've canceled the lease because of so much opposition. So what Ron's saying, most of their drilling's on private property, but in 5 million acres in San Juan County, 8% of it is private property.
We have 13%.
So it's not a real rosy picture moving forward.
Some of you have heard about the sage grouse issue. That's actually what is stopping the majority of the leasing, at least in our area. If you look at the bids, it'll say deferred, 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 which means it goes in the black bottom of the pit. And the reason, sage grouse. Sage grouse, sage grouse, sage grouse.
Well, not only that, Mike, master leasing, a brand new program that has come out after the RMP was approved, master leasing, most of the land in San Juan County that's under the master leasing has a no surface occupancy clause to it, which means that's a code word for no drilling.
2.9 million acres in eastern Utah were taken off with a stroke of a pen called master leasing. We're involved in litigation, have been since 2009. We're trying to fight the fight, but those are the challenges that we have.
Mr. Potter, you said Bajan?
I was just going to add that in this board, there's a lot of control over environmental policy, I understand, but it has become very clear from the EPA on the national level that when they're done with coal, they will then take care of gas and oil. So that's the environment that I find myself in that hostile environment on a daily basis dealing with that. And spend a great deal of time as a commissioner and as commissioners in my county just trying to preserve an industry that does contribute. We're not laying down and saying we're done by any means, but you're right, it is a sign of the times as far as where those groups are going. And we need to be sure that we exercise every prudent opportunity within our collective counties, whether you're an energy producer or not. You like oil for your roads, you like running water, you even like to turn on your lights in the morning. So it's a tough battle, and it's sad to see this decrease the way it is, but I think, again, our regional planners can take those messages back. Here is the reality of what is going on in the state of Utah, and so be very, very prudent and very cautious with what you bring to the board.
Can we use We Be Gone to get rid of those sagebrush?
I would just like to add, since we kind of got off subject, that we like in the basin, we like climate change. If it was to warm up a couple degrees, growing that big thing. So we're all about climate change. So.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
Well, just on a positive note, I didn't catch it all, but on the radio this morning, I did hear that the legislature had involved coming forward with the suit relative to doing our public lands back in Utah. So I think that's very positive. That the state is being very proactive in the court. To the tune of maybe $43 million to fight that all over the Supreme Court. So we have the state behind this, is what I'm saying. So I think that's very, very positive.
I think we have to be a little careful with that, too, though.
Yeah.
And the fact that should the state take that over, their study said they would take all the Middle East money to operate. And do we really want to lose the Middle East money coming to our community? So, you know, we got to sort all that out moving forward.
Right.
And the environmental system, which is not federal land anymore. It's not doing.
We're not going to start fighting.
Well, thank you, Mr. Bonatti, for the motion to adjourn. We are adjourned. Thank you. Candace and her staff have graciously arranged for the Christmas luncheon. Probably start in 15, 20 minutes.
All right, well, you can just go over now.
Yeah. You know, if you return, you're